Okay, so my question is, do we remember when our children, if you had children, started growing up and also comparing themselves with other children, perhaps in the area nearby, or children at school, and then at home, someone even gave my wife and I a tape on a little roll-out cloth that you could actually pin on the wall, and it had my height, and it had my wife's height too as well, you know, mom and dad's height. So as our children grew up, they would stand up against the wall, and they would put the ruler on top of their head, and they want to see how far they were below our height. So their responsibility in their own minds were to work towards being just as tall as mom and dad. In other words, everybody wants to go up, you know, up and up and up. We had to explain to them that when they measured themselves with that ruler, because they would put a ruler on top of the head and go to the inches on that tape going up on the wall there. But sometimes they wouldn't have it flat. So they would actually pick it like this and put it up so that the back of the ruler was about 2 inches above their head. But they couldn't see that because the front part of the ruler was on their head. So we'd have to walk over and say, look, you're not measuring properly. You're not measuring yourself properly, and so let's give some instruction on how to measure where you are in this life. And of course, that is a spiritual principle too that we have to see. In fact, I've always recognized as well that the Bible itself, which is the instruction of God, is also to a lot of people a puzzle. It's a puzzle where you actually begin to grab a piece over here and put it over here, and a piece over here and put it over here. And so now we find then we have measuring things that we use, but are they proper measuring things that we use? Because I know as children, like for instance on the map of the United States of America, we would have them put together the little puzzle pieces and the little slots that they're supposed to go in. And all of a sudden, as a young child who can't see too well in the sense of the surrounding curves of that, they try to force a piece of the puzzle in a hole that it doesn't fit. Have you ever seen that in Christianity? Absolutely. People take things and they try to force things into the Bible where it doesn't fit. Or they'll take things out of the Bible and put it where it doesn't fit. So the sermon today is, are we continually growing spiritually? Spiritually, yes, we're all growing. I think all of us could say that to a certain degree, although when you get a certain age, maybe you don't. We grow physically, right? We either go out or in or up or down, it seems. In other words, we're constantly working on going forward. And we will try all kinds of things. I know my wife and I were talking about this not too long ago even. We will try to see what would be helpful for doing this or keeping your body in good shape. And I remember my mind really bugged out, and also my mind was going in circles when one of the evangelists in Pasadena, California, way back in the late 50s, this was 57, 58, 59, where this minister was saying that, look, he says, we need to draw closer to God. We need to understand spiritually what it's all about. And he says, I'm going to fast to draw close to God, as the scripture says we're to do. And that way God will give me the inspiration and the mind and the spiritual information that I need. And I said, how long are you going to fast? He says, oh, I'm going to fast 20 days. And I just thought, wow, I'm just beginning in the work of God, and someone is setting an example to me. He's going to fast for 20 days. And, of course, we read, of course, through the years about Jesus' fasting, too. And I don't think anyone's ever matched his, have they? We have to understand and recognize that there are certain things we can use, but it takes spiritual understanding to see the need and or whether or not it does have a need. How do we handle it? How do we handle it spiritually? Many times we can handle it physically easily, but even then, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in those slots of the Bible. It's our own understanding, our own ideas, or the world's ideas. So many times, even in our society, the world creeps in. Now, this man who fasted for that length of the time, he also fasted that length of time on nothing but grape juice. And I thought, wow, nothing but grape juice. Well, I would think about the fact that wine comes from grape juice, right? Well, anyway, we wouldn't want to say you ought to drink nothing but wine for that length of time. Who knows what you would be like at the end of that. But my point is that we sometimes have battles. We have battles that we go through that we think this is what the Scripture says. In some cases, we hope this is what the Scripture says. But maybe we need to do a more thorough research to find out if that's really what it is saying. So we have to recognize that we are in a growing stage. We are in a growing stage in the Church of God. And our children were in growing stages growing up. I remember the time when we told our children that this is what you have to do. And, of course, they had the attitude of, well, should we listen to our parents? Should we obey them? We have our own ideas of what we want to do. And I even remarked one time in a training session, I put I think it was a red car and a black car, a little toy car, in the other room. And I told the children, I said, I want you to go in and play with those toys. And I said, I do not want you to touch the red one. You can play with the black one, but you can't touch the red one. And so I looked through the keyhole, observing what the child was going to do. Which one do you think they went for? The red one. The one that they were instructed not to touch. And so it shows you the difference in how the mind works, even physically speaking, because I think all of you understand and realize that there are different things that people love to eat that other people don't love to eat at all. So physically speaking, we do have certain decisions that to fulfill our desires and what we want to do and how we want to perform. And then when we came into the church, then we recognized and realized that there was another arena that we didn't understand about before. And that arena was the fact that God was going to give us a special power. He's going to give us a special power to use to understand the difference between spiritual things and physical things. And of course, as you would know, and I would know, having read the Bible and having seen it demonstrated to as well, is that with just the spirit of man in man, they cannot see some spiritual things at all. They understand that there is a spiritual world out there. Even Paul brings that out in the book of Romans. He says, you know, they're without excuse. They can understand the spiritual things of this earth standing out in the middle of nowhere. How did it get there? And of course, you read in the Scripture that says that Jesus was sent by His Father to the earth to create all things. He even created all of the heavens, it says. And He created the earth. And that earth, you see, revolves, goes around and around and around and around 24 hours. And we find also, too, that the sun was involved. So we see all those things which really came about as a result of the spiritual arena. And, of course, we're only seeing just a few things today. God's Holy Spirit reveals certain things that we need to know, that we need to understand in getting ready for the responsibility God has granted and given to us. And I know just thinking about the deaths of many in the church, your family members, my family members, and my wife's family members. And we realize and recognize that they did die. But there's a hope for the future. We see that. And in some cases, you find some people say, well, there is no hope in the future. We're going to die, and that'd be the end of us forever. Well, that's what the wrong spirit world wants the world to believe. To get them away from what God is doing and how God is planning and getting what He's got going to come to the apex of what He designed it for. And we're going to be seeing that. Go back to Matthew, the 5th chapter. So we need to be continually growing and obeying our Heavenly Father, just like we taught our children growing up to obey their parents, and to obey even in some cases the school teachers as they were instructing them along with, as long as it was according to God's laws and God's way that we were teaching them. So there's a lot of things there that we have to look at, and the growing area of our lives is different with every person because we are individuals. Doesn't mean that we don't all have God's Holy Spirit. We do. That is, those who were baptized. We have God's Holy Spirit, and that Spirit helps us to see it. You ever wonder sometimes when you're thinking over something, what can I see? What can I see? What can I understand? Does the Spirit move us to want to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I've talked to different ones in the church through the years, and I find that they would tell me that, here we were, thinking and praying, and all of a sudden, all these thoughts just begin to come to our minds of what to look in the Bible for, and how to progress with our life, and dealing with certain circumstances, and so on. So yes, God still deals through the power of His Spirit. But we have to be careful that we don't turn Him off and use our own spirit of man to make the decision based on what we think we know. And that's part of why I'm giving the sermon, because we can say a lot of things, but is it really what God wants us to say according to the Scripture? Well, we'll have to be held accountable as time goes on, because God will bring it to our mind. Let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and beginning in verse 6. Matthew 5, and beginning in verse 6. It says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness." Now, most of us know that Psalm 119, 172 says righteousness is the keeping of the commandments, or the righteousness is obedience to our Father on what He gives us and wants us to accomplish and do. That's what righteousness is all about. But we have to hunger and thirst for it, for they shall be filled. God says they shall be filled. We are going to be filled. God says we are being called for a purpose. Notice skipping on down in verse 11, or verse 10. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." For righteousness' sake. "For theirs will be the kingdom of God." Kingdom of heaven. Theirs will be. "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." So you are going to find a lot of things out there that you will blot out. It's like you've done your computer. In fact, I'm getting more and more adept at that to a certain degree, because things just keep appearing on my computer that I ain't asked for. So I'm just sitting there deleting and deleting, 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 deleting. I don't want it. Wish they'd leave me alone. this is what we say in dealing with that. And that, it's just at the beginning. It's not over with yet on that. In fact, I found out just recently dealing with understandings of flying an airplane, which I get in one of the airplane books and so on. And they said, "We haven't seen anything yet, because the government now wants every airplane, not just the ones that we fly commercially in, but they want every airplane to have a little box that's in the airplane that will focus in on where they are at all times. So that's really causing a lot of flack, because some people say, I don't want to be under the government's thumbs of knowing exactly where I am, what I'm doing, even though I may be doing right or good or whatever. I don't want them knowing where we are and what we're doing. So again, you find that certain things are being that happen, and they said it's almost blown out of proportion, because, like, for instance, if all your little small airplanes have to have that box, it'll cost between $4,000 and $5,000 just to put it in your airplane. Why would you want it in your airplane? And you say, I wouldn't want that. And they say, it's a law, and you have to obey the law or you can't fly. So even restriction comes along as well. So, but we should be used to that in the Church of God, you know, living, you know, through the years, because we've seen that come and go in all different areas of our lives. But notice the promise, which keeps us going here too as well. Verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For my sake, God says. Rejoice and exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When I was analyzing even with this sermon, I looked at it from the viewpoint of different ones who are being called to become kings and priests. You find that in Revelation, the first chapter, that we're all being called, that is, those who have God's Holy Spirit, those who've been given God's Holy Spirit in our time today, are going to be having our wonderful reward of being kings and priests. But you see, all of a sudden, Satan shoots in a couple of little angles by saying, well, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest among you? Who's going to be the one? And I think most of us remember the fact that the two sons came to Jesus and said, can we sit on the right hand and on the left hand of your kingdom? And, you know, Jesus said, I can't do that. That's something my Father chooses. So all of a sudden, why would someone want that? Is it because they want to be greater? If they have that attitude, then they're going to want to be greater than God too. And so we find in Ephesians, as well as several other chapters in the Bible, you will find that we are placed individually, spiritually, the power of God's Holy Spirit in God's church as it pleases Him. And what He has designed for the future. So none of us could ever say that, well, I think y'all listen to me, I'm greater than you, or I'm going to be higher than you in the kingdom. None of us, brethren. None of us have that option. That option is up to the Father. Even Jesus said that. It's the Father's course of action of where He's going to place all of us in His family. And you'll see that throughout the Old Testament, even through the New Testament, where different people wanted to be higher than other people. And as I think most of you remember the story, or at least you've heard the story, about Hitler and Mussolini in this cartoon. They were in barber's chairs, the old barber's chairs. You don't have those barber's chairs, I don't think, like they used to have. And they sat there, jacked each other up, one and one to be higher than the other, all the way until their heads hit the ceiling and there's no place they could go. And then I remember in Pasadena, California, we were discussing and showing how the different people want different positions, but they want the highest positions. Why is that? It comes from Satan. What did Satan want? He wanted to fly up and go higher than God. He wanted to be higher. That's that wrong attitude and wrong frame of mind. But to know that we're even here because God designed it, God planned it, God brought it about much greater than any computer could. His mind is the best computer of all. And He could think of a billion things, including, as the Scripture says, the hair on our head. Now, how many hairs we have on our head? You know, God put that in there for a purpose, to show you that we're not as great as we think we are sometimes, because we couldn't remember that. But He is. And He's the greatest of all. And Jesus Himself said, "My Father is greater than I am." Notice that Jesus never took the stance of wanting to be greater than His Father. He's greater than I am. And all of us are going to do the same thing. We're going to say, look, we realize that we've got a lot to learn in this life, and we've got a lot to look forward to as well. But it all must be with the spiritual growth that we need to be interested in, of growing spiritually, using the instruction booklet that sometimes can be like a jigsaw puzzle. I to this day remember that in the earlier years of this work, we were taking things out of Daniel and pasting them somewhere in the book of Matthew and the book of Revelation. And we realized later on that we had them in the wrong order. In other words, we tend to do that. We tend to paste this there and paste this there. Well, we must understand prophecy, and so therefore we're going to read Daniel because Daniel's the best one to know prophecy. Wait a minute, what about all the prophets of God who have been prophesied since Abel? Since Abel. In fact, Jesus was coming with 10,000 of His saints as one of the ministers of that time. He even preached and taught. You can find it in the book of Jude. So therefore, God has the work that He's doing, and that's what we should all, as children growing up in the church, because we're still in the church of God and we're still growing. And we're still growing up, meaning we are maturing. We're having more and more understanding as every day that goes by. Sometimes we can say something, I can say something, you can say something, that doesn't make sense sometimes, because there's a scripture that may say differently than what you said or what I said. And that was one of my achievements that I wanted to do way back in the early years of the work, is to always find a scripture to back up what I was saying. Find a scripture or a set of scriptures to back up what I was saying. And I found out later on that that was the way to use God's Holy Spirit, because you're not happy with just one thing. You need several things to back up what you're thinking and what you are projecting for the future. You got to put it all together. And we have to have the Word of God to do that. So we need to understand that we are going to be the lights that show other people. Because people are going to see what we do. In fact, they're going to wonder what we do. We just had that happen just recently when someone wanted to come and deal with us and do some things on the Sabbath. And said, we could be over there to talk with you at such and such time on Saturday. And, well, we're sure sorry. We observe the Sabbath. The Saturday is the Sabbath, and that was the day we reserved. No problem at all. We'll see you on Sunday. So I thought, that's good. At least we got the point across at that point, and they didn't want to infringe on what we believe. So that's good. Maybe that's a good example in the future for different ones. And I'm sure you've had the same thing. In fact, I've had many of the members of the church tell me that many people came into the Church of God because they said some things at work. And these people went and looked it up and found out they was right and they wanted to come to church. Which, you see, you have to say it in such a way, though, that it's not going to choke them to death either. Otherwise, they won't come, or even won't have the desire to come. So again, that's using the Spirit that we've been given properly, with wisdom. And God will back it up every single time. So we're the spiritual light. As it says in verse 13, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor... You know, the salt of the earth, you could say that we are the ones who have the spiritual element that the rest of the world needs. And so we are the salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth that exudes the power of God's Holy Spirit at work by the words we say, But what we do, we're exuding all of that. So, but salt that has lost its savor or lost the ability to use the power of God's Spirit or shuns God's Spirit because of the fact that the physical spirit of man is too strong in the mind, and sometimes the mind says, I think I'm right. I think I want to go the way I want to go. So we have to have a balance there too as well. Wherever shall it be salted is not good for nothing, to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot. You're the light of the earth, the world. A city that is set on a hill can't be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick, that it gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men, your light that is moved and inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the light that's brighter. You ever wonder why people look at you and say, well, there's something strange about this person, something different about this person. The light is brighter. The light is brighter. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, or to see what you are saying work out. It works for good. It doesn't work for bad. And the glory of your Father which is in heaven. Again, reflecting back on the Father that we listen to. Just as kids growing up, we strove to listen to our parents until we got carnal. And they didn't want to listen to their parents anymore. Until God called us and struck us down. So he says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, that was put in there because of the fact that people tried to do away with other things. In fact, in our society today, I think you'll find even around the world, including some of the places that have need of help even now during the disasters that took place in Africa as well as other places, they need help. And so therefore, you find certain organizations of Christianity say they need Jesus. And so therefore they'll go over and bring a name and just say the word Jesus and it will give you some food. Well, what good is that going to do? Now, if you explain to them, the only reason we're here, we're moved by God's Spirit to help you, to strengthen you. So there are a lot of ways to handle the situation. So he said, I don't come to destroy, and I could say, my Father's law. I didn't come to destroy my Father's law, or even the law that is passed on by the prophets, same laws. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to live out, to put into action, to let people know and understand. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And it talks about doing there in verse 19 as well. Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments or transgress them, the word break is the old King James word, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom once he gets there, or if he gets there, in that sense. In other words, it's showing that God is not happy with that. For whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So there's a lot of ideas there on those particular scriptures, and maybe perhaps we don't know the totality of it, spiritually speaking, even at this point. There may be more to it. Because we're all still growing. We're all still growing, spiritually speaking. Romans, the 8th chapter now. Romans, the 8th chapter, which I think most of us know and have respect for and understand because it gives us our future. Romans, the 8th chapter, and beginning in verse 6, Romans 8, and beginning in verse 6. For to be carnally minded or physically minded, using just the physical spirit in man, which has to do with physical things. God places us on a physical earth. We do physical things. You need a physical mind to be able to do those things. But there's a spiritual mind too. And that's added when God calls us to be a part of His family. Carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's where you enjoy life the most. Because the carnal mind is hostile against God. You know, we look at it and say, how can my mind be hostile? Well, our mind's converted is the difference. We're not hostile because our mind is converted. It has the Spirit of God moving in. So the carnal mind is hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And it isn't pleasing in God if we are in the flesh and we are using the fleshly mind to come to decisions that we know the Scripture says differently. Then we're going the wrong direction when we do that. So God leaves it up to us. He gives us free choice. But He wants us to choose always what's right and what's good. Yet be the Spirit of God dwell in you, you see, you're not in the flesh. Meaning, you see, you have the extra power and the extra mind to be able to accomplish what God wants us to do. So be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So you can understand the difference there. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus or Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. So, the Scripture tells us of the spiritual side, and that's what we should be interested in. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. How does one know that they have God's Holy Spirit? How does one know that they have God's Holy Spirit? How do you know you have the Spirit of man? How do you know that you can, if you are an Einstein, you could probably do all kinds of things in the scientific world with the physical human mind, but can't understand the simple spiritual things of life? You can have the Spirit of man. That doesn't mean you have it, though. It's the Spirit of God that counts. So it says, for as many as are led. Now this is a progressive statement. It's a progressive statement. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Is that just one time? Or is that consistently? We are consistently being led by the Spirit of God. And they are the sons of God. Sons to be when the completion takes place. Sons of God. And we have received that spirit of sonship, as it says, whereby we cry, Father. He's our spiritual father. And that's why in our society today we have the religions and so on who claim certain things as far as even calling human beings spiritually father. Which you see is deterring from what the Holy Spirit would inspire you to do if you had it. You wouldn't do that. So the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Because you see, our spirit becomes converted to the Spirit of God. No longer is it going to come up with the carnal ideas because it has the Spirit moving the mind and understanding the mind. That we are children of God, and if children, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together. And in verse 19, for the earnest or the expectation of the creature, the creation, waits for the manifestation of the sons of who? Of God. The sons of God. To me, that is so marvelous to see and to understand that. that we have the power to become sons of God, spirit beings, God spirit beings. And as Jesus himself said in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, he said, haven't I said that you are God's, G-O-D-S, which has to do, you see, with the family, the Father. Now, the old King James is always capitalized when he's talking about the Father, but when he's talking about the other gods, they leave it a small letter G on it. And rightfully so in that sense, because we are never, ever equal or higher than our Father. We're part of the family, and an integral part of the family, because in what God is doing, he's going to need every single one that he's calling now and will call in the future and will call in the millennium. And even after that, with other things that are going to be done, as the scripture talks about, his plan will be fulfilled. And we'll see then the fullness of the power of God. For verse 20, it says here, for the creature was made subject to vanity. He was made subject to vanity. Verse 19 says, the earnest expectation is waiting to become the sons of God. But you still have to have the other as well. But not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what we're going to be. And so it goes on to say, verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the sonship, to wit, the redemption of our body. Have you ever had that in you? I have. No others have. We have that yearning. We have that desire. We want to be. We're waiting for it. For we're being saved by the hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we know that there's a lot going on there from that viewpoint as well. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever thought about that? That if you're using the spiritual power of God, you're thinking with the scriptures of God throughout the entirety of the Bible, you're thinking, and that when you pray, the part of you, you see, that is being developed and so on, will think those thoughts, will think those things, and it comes from God. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that's there. And I remember even several conversations we had in making decisions along the way that many people would say, well, how do we know that sitting right here in this room, in that case it was a manpower meeting as far as who to choose to be one of the ministers in the Pasadena church, as well as some deacons and deaconesses who were also being chosen to be part of the body that would move forward to accomplish what needed to be accomplished in that church. And what was said at the particular time was, we are going to fast and pray about it for 3 days, and God will let us know through the power of His Spirit. God will let us know through the power of His Spirit. But we have to believe that, or we have to have faith in that. I remember the time that my wife and I had, I think it was 19 people sitting in an audience there to be counseled for baptism in New Jersey. And what we did, we counseled generally with general things, because we didn't want anybody's private sins to be brought out in the open. So as they left that, each one of them would come by the office and individually counsel further for baptism. And those who were really ready to be baptized, we sent them downstairs to be baptized, and I had the laying on of hands of all of those who were baptized. Even though I may not have baptized them, but I did have the laying on of hands of all of them. Because we had other elders who could do the baptizing too as well. And there was this one individual who said, in that particular meeting we had, I'm ready to be baptized. I've kept God's laws and God's commandments, etc. I said, okay, go on down and get baptized. And the elder said to me after he left, he says, are you sure he was ready? I said, wait a minute. Didn't we ask everyone who was going to be involved with this to fast and pray about this? Well, yes. Well, don't you think God answered that? And he continues to answer that. And will answer this even. So when the person went down and stepped in the water, said it was too cold, got and left and never was baptized. So God did intervene. God stopped it from happening. So we believe he'll do that? Yes, every single time. And that's what was told us in some of those earlier meetings where Mr. Armstrong was even involved several times with that. And he said, look, when you fast and you pray about it and you make the decision, etc., if it's according to God's laws, God's going to go with it anyway. Because it's according to his laws. And he says through the scripture that we are to ordain men to help carry on this great work. So you got to look out among you those that can be used, that's been utilizing and using the Holy Spirit of God. How do we determine that? By the scriptures themselves as well. Because all those things that they do is going to be found in the scriptures. Then we know who is going to pass that on down the line to all other peoples. And we've seen that happen with most of our members in the church, because that's what they do as well. Even though they might not be in what some would call a leading position, that doesn't really matter, because there may be someone sitting, a little lady who's 90 years old in the congregation, and she will be placed in a position, quote unquote, higher than some of the others in the church. Does that mean that it's unfair with God? No. That's where he wanted that person to start with. That's what we have to understand. You see, God knows what he wants to start with, and he also makes sure through the power of his Holy Spirit that that comes about and that those people need that training. And so I've often felt myself, looking at different ones who came into the church, who left the church, because I think most of us know we lost about 70% of what was termed at that time the worldwide church of God. And some went accident back to keeping of Sunday and disobeying God's laws, etc., and so on along the way. And so you ask yourself the question, will those people, what resurrection will those people be in? Okay, so now, if you're going to use the Holy Spirit of God, you will say, I will say, that's up to God. That's up to God. I'm not going to judge other people. Even Jesus said that, didn't he? He says, when people wanted him to judge, he says, I don't judge. He helps them to work forward. He doesn't condemn. Actually, the word judge can mostly mean condemning. He says, I don't condemn. And so therefore, when someone decides to go off and do their thing, somewhere in our society, that was the human spirit leading them astray. That doesn't mean they can't come back. No, it doesn't. They can come back to glorify God. And so I really feel and can see and have seen through the years that God allows certain people, because of the intelligence and the mind power that he gave them to start with at birth, the human spirit, that they would go a long way in our society today, because rightfully so, because God wants them in a leading position. And even in our society, he needed people who could lead other people. So he gave certain ones that ability to do that. And we found that out too at a Pasadena. There were some who didn't have the ability, and if you put them in a job that they can't handle, it's going to go downhill. So we have to also use the human spirit along with the Holy Spirit to make certain judgments and certain decisions on what we're doing in this life. So what our job is to do is to feed and and spur the Holy Spirit through the words of God to better understanding growth patterns. As our kids would go to the chart on the wall and say, well, I'm 2 inches from Mom, pretty soon I'll pass Mom, and now I'm pretty close, now I'll be pretty close to Dad. Of course, we try to explain it to them, that doesn't make them any greater. God is the one who sets it all up to start with, and that's what we have to follow through with. And we go through the training of not casting the beams out of people's eyes unless we are spiritually capable of handling that problem. In other words, if we spiritually can handle that problem, then we strive to handle that problem. But it's a problem of giving and sharing, not of saying, I'm greater than you and you're wrong and you're bad. That's not why we do it. Even with our children, we spank our children because they need to learn to do what was right and good. And that's what God did too. Look at the Old Testament. How many people did God spank along the way in the entirety of the Old Testament? And even some in the New Testament too as well. So we have to realize that God has it all for the growth of all of us. Let's go back to 1 Peter, the first chapter now. 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. And let's see what Peter had to say in verse 22. It says, Jesus, who verily was a foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested and this last time's for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, and that your faith and hope might be in God. Notice the direction constantly that we should be thinking about. Seeing that you have purified your souls. We're in a process of purifying our minds. The physical human mind through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're purifying. This is 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Not just, I love him. Do you? What's behind that, you see? So being sired again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. See, we were sired by that. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. Everybody tries to pass his name on. Everybody tries to have statues, and figurines and so on, of somebody who lived 2,000 years ago. Well, actually, not even that far back, but they think they have it 2,000 years ago, but none of what they have up is right or correct in your religious circles anyway. So it goes on to say here that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass, and the grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures, how long? Forever. It endures forever. It's going on forever and ever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. So the good news is preached to us that we're going to continue to grow as long as we follow through with all of those words that we're being given. Romans 1, I won't turn there, but Romans 1 verse 20 says the invisible things are clearly seen. The invisible things are clearly seen. I used to ask myself the question, what was it like whenever Jesus would appear? When the disciples were getting together and have a meal with him and then just disappear. So here's a spirit being that can just walk right through the wall. That's spirit. We can't quite totally understand that because we're physical. We're human. But once we are spirit, fully, then we'll understand it more perfectly. But the Scripture tells us what it's like just looking ahead. So we can be sure of it and know that it's right. So they're clearly seen by the things that God lets us see in this whole universe, as I said before. Let's go to John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter. And let's see here what Jesus had to say in John 12. John, the 12th chapter. And beginning in verse 4 here. John, the 12th chapter. And verse 4. It says, "Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Notice what mind was he using? His physical mind. He didn't have the power at his disposal that he could use to make a better decision. And this he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and bore what was put in it. And I'm sure from time to time did think he shouldn't have with it, because he was a thief. But God was using this to show us that there's a difference. For us today, we're not thieves. We live by the words of God. We obey God. We serve Him night and day the best we can. And that's exercising the Spirit whenever we're tempted to take, whenever we're tempted to do something we shouldn't really do because the Spirit part of us says not to do that. So how close are we on that? Are we growing? That's my point today. Are we growing? Continue to grow in the power of God's Spirit. Notice in Revelation 22. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation, the 22nd chapter. And verse 11. Probably verse 10 is what I want to start with. "And this he said to me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. For the time is at hand." Okay, now you can visualize that, can't you? I mean, when you recognize that at least 150 people were killed over this last weekend, we must be getting closer and closer to the time of the end. Certain things are pointing forth that. Does that mean we know exactly? No, it doesn't, because we don't have enough of God's Spirit to teach us that in the arena of what God wants us to know at this time. Sometimes we thought that we should know all of those things, but we don't have to know those things to obey God and to serve God. That should just be automatic in our lives. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still." You don't lose that, you keep growing with that. "And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." And it goes on to say in verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city." And the reason for that is because it takes the power of God to accomplish everything it needs to be done. And we can go through quite a few other scriptures that talk about it. And that is that when we see that something needs to be done, we realize and recognize some things can be done over a period of time. Some things have to be done right away. And that means even in our lives too. If we find ourselves in danger of going a direction we shouldn't go, you've got to do something now. Whether it be fasting, which as Mr. Evans brought out, fasting, and we all need to be fasting several days before the holy days coming up, because it's one of the most important times of the year, is when we come in and become part of what we sealed ourselves with in the beginning, to be part of the very family of God. So ask yourself the question every single day. Look at your spiritual chart. Do you have a spiritual chart? Maybe we should all have a spiritual chart of where we are. We don't do like some of the others. So how great am I going to be in the kingdom? What about David ruling over the house of Israel? What about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the others? They're going to be where God places them in His family. And we should have the understanding of that and recognize that and realize that whatever talents and abilities that God has given us, which we can literally use through the power of God's Holy Spirit in our conversations with one another and even with those who are running the church, that is, taking care of the church of God. We can add ours too, because it's all part of the same family that we're going to have in the future. So let's get us a chart going to find out where are we in that. Do we study the Bible enough? We had an answer that we heard that got back to us, not from this area, I don't think it was in this area, but came back from some of the Church of God and said, well, I haven't studied my Bible in 5 weeks. And I thought, if you're going to grow spiritually, you better be studying your Bible in those 5 weeks. Or otherwise, where are you going to be at the end of those 5 weeks? Now, how long do we have to study the Bible? Well, it's kind of interesting. I remember this just like it was yesterday. I was in on a meeting with the senior class president in Manor del Mar, which was on the college campus there. And the first question we were all asked, how many hours do you pray per day? And he says, I'll start off with three. How many people pray 3 hours a day? Three hands went up. And then skipping down, 2 hours a day, 1 hour a day, half an hour a day, 15 minutes a day. And how many times, as far as minutes are concerned, how many hours do we study the Bible? We study the Bible an hour a day, half an hour a day. And after a while, it became a problem. It became a problem in the church, because some thought that they had sinned if they didn't study their Bible an hour a day or pray an hour a day. They thought they had sinned. No, they hadn't sinned. It may be bordering on drifting to that place. No sin. God doesn't give us any specific time that we must be praying. But it should be according to our needs. And let's face it, every single day we need God. We need to be walking and talking with Him, because we're going to be working with Him for all eternity. And so we need to utilize and grow in the Spirit He's given us so that we can be ready to rule with Him in the wonderful world tomorrow. Put that at the top of your chart and strive for it.